Welcome to another great message from Influencers Church Australia. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com. We hope that this message blesses you.
So good. How are you doing today? If we haven't met, my name's Pastor Alice. I'm one of the kids' pastors here at Influencers Church, and it's my honour today to stand here and bring God's Word and bring part two of Blessed, Not Stressed. Hey, who was here last week for part one? Pastor Ashley's message last week was absolutely phenomenal and actually challenged me this week in a very, very busy week in my world. I actually don't like the word busy, so I'll try not to use it. A full week in my world. My 11-year-old daughter's in dance world, and if you're a dance mum, you'll just silently sit there and go, yep, we know what that looks like. And so she's done her first solo and dancing in some troops, and so we're back again there tomorrow. And so it's just been a full week, but it was good for me to remind myself this week that in those moments of full, in those moments of stuff happening, to be blessed and not to be stressed. To thank God for the moments I find myself in, to thank God that He is with me every moment and He's got what I need for the moments ahead. And so I don't need to stress about what's happening in an hour or two. I can just work through what's happening right now. But it was such a great word last week. I want to encourage you, if you weren't here for it, you haven't checked it out on our podcast, you should do that, because it was really a great word about living content with where you are and what you have, but pushing for the more that God's got for you. So I want to encourage you, grab a hold of that. But today I'd love to speak for the next few moments about the next part of Blessed, Not Stressed, and some habits that I believe that we can put into our world if we haven't quite nailed them, so that we actually live blessed and not stressed. You know, the life God intended for us is not a stressful life. Stuff can happen. Circumstance cannot work out the way we intended or the way we planned or the way we wanted them. But that doesn't mean we actually have to live in a stressed world, because what happens on the inside of us determines what happens on the outside of us. And so if we can maintain a calmness and we can put some of these habits in our life, I really believe we can change how we walk through our everyday. Is that good? Well, we've got... I looked up some habits that people want to break. We've all got habits, right? You know, statistics tell us that about 40% of what we do is done out of habit. You just get up, you do it. A lot of what you 40% of what you just say because it's a habit in your life. And so I looked up this week some research on habits, and so here's some habits that people want to break. Now, perhaps don't nudge, if you're sitting next to your partner, perhaps don't nudge them when you get to the one that's them. Right, Rob? But here's some habits people, this is not my words, this is the words of survey out there, people, habits people want to break. You ready? Addiction to mobile phones. Would you agree? You know, in fact, we get so stressed that when our battery charge is only on 3%, and you know, my daughter, if sometimes I say to her, can I just borrow your iPad? She's like, no, Mum, it's only on 7%. I just need to look something up. No, but it's only on 7%. We live in culture and society where we can't cope when our battery drains. And so what's happened? People have made portable chargers. You can buy handbag little things for women, probably men too, but for women that have got portable chargers attached to them. I've got one. And you put your phone in your purse and it charges. It's fantastic. You never have to be without your mobile phone. But how sad that that's become an addiction in society and it's become a habit that we can't break. Social media. It's a habit that we can't break. You know, there's nothing wrong with social media. I love social media. But if it's a habit that is actually deterring us from living the life God's intended or distracting us from doing some of the things we know we should do, then it's a habit we need to break. What about this one? Eavesdropping. Because we would much rather hear the juice and the goss and the bad stuff that's happening to somebody else's life so that we feel better about ourselves and so that we maybe don't have to fix the stuff that's going on in our life. It's a habit people want to break. Not finishing what people start. We've probably all been guilty of that, but that's a habit that people want to break. They want to be people who complete what they start. What about this one? Nail biting. I don't bite my nails. I pick the nail beds. It's a yucky habit, but it's a habit that people want to break. Shopping for entertainment. And all the men nudge their wives. Maybe don't do that. shopping for entertainment. Not because I need something, but because I just want to have something. Or I want to make myself feel good, so I go shopping and spend money so that I have more stuff, so that I feel better about who I am. It's a habit that people want to break. Living cluttered. Self-criticism. Our self-talk. Our negative self-talk is a habit that people want to break. Watching too much TV. That's a habit that we want to break. You know, there's nothing wrong with TV, but I mean, and then the world throws on us Netflix, where you can just sit down for a whole day and watch your favourite series of whatever you love. We binge on that. And you see people talking about it. I'm just going to binge and watch the whole next series of Suits. Someone said amen. Millie. We do it. We spend a whole day watching our favourite, and there's nothing wrong, but if it's distracting us, what about this one? This is my personal pet hate. Someone needs to nudge my husband right now. Hitting the snooze button. Can I hear an amen? Oh, man. He's leaning over there, not looking at me. He won't make eye contact because he knows. One time I counted how many times he hit the snooze button. 9. He'll vehemently deny it. Let me tell you, 9. 9 times. Do you know his alarm is, the snooze time is 9 minutes. I've worked it out. 9 times 9 is 81. That's 100. That's 1 hour and 21 minutes, Robert McInnes. That you've robbed of my sleep time. Can I hear an amen? When the alarm goes off, press the button, turn it off and get up. That's how I live anyway. Well, I lie there and then I get up. But I don't keep hitting the snooze button. But that's a habit. It's not my words, Rob. It's the words of the public out there. This is a habit that I should break, driving too fast. Well, some of you need to do it too. But we've all got habits that we need to break, right? I'm sure sitting here, some of us are going, you know what, I need to break some habits in my life, and that's a bit of fun. But the truth is that 40% of what we do is done out of habit. Aristotle said this. He said, we are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. And we create these habits, and we actually, out of our habits, become known to other people by our habits. Ever said these things about other people? Oh, they're always late. Oh, yeah, they're pretty messy, aren't they? Oh, no, they're a disciplined person. Oh, no, they're pretty disorganised when it comes to that. Oh, they're a very hot-tempered person. Oh, they're lazy. Well, what about this? This is what I want to be known for. They're the most encouraging person you'll ever meet. We actually become known but to others by our habits. Oh, they're a generous person, generous with their finances, generous with their time. Oh, no, they're stingy. Ever been out to dinner with those people who never pay the bill? You just feel like you always pick up the tab? People get known for their habits. You know, Proverbs 23 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. We become known by the habits that we build into our life. And I believe today, some keys out of Scripture, in a moment we're going to look in 1 Thessalonians, there's some habits that we can build into our life so that we live blessed and not stressed, and so that we don't get known from the negative things, but we are known to other people as Christians who are full of faith and who have a love for God, and these habits will flow out of our life. Do you know, good habits will add value and empowerment to your life and to the life of other people, whereas bad habits will steal your peace, steal your joy, and stop you living the blessed life God's intended for you. Sometimes we need to stop and say, what am I doing? Why do I keep doing this thing? Because if I keep doing this same old thing, I can't expect a different result. In fact, that's the definition of stupidity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We've got to be people that break out of some old habits, build some good habits into our life so that we can live the life God intended us to live. God intended us to live blessed. You know, I think about what God did for each one of us. I think about what, you know, we were singing that song just before about there's no, and I'll probably get the words wrong, I make up words, but there's no mountain he won't climb, there's no door or wall or something that he won't kick down, because he goes after, he leaves the 99 to go after the one. And I'm thinking about all God did for me. so that I can live a stress-free, blessed life. God's done such a massive thing in sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for me so that I can live the life he's intended. And so I was standing in worship before God thinking, God, if the only thing I can do for you is live the life you've intended, help me to be that person. Help me to live the life you've intended. Help me to build the right habits into my life so that I be who you've called me to be. So some habits. Are you ready? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Wow, my voice is good. It says this in verse 16, and I'm reading from the Message translation this morning. It says this, be cheerful no matter what. I love that. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. What an incredible passage of scripture. You know, when I read the Message translation, and when I read that, thinking about blessed, not stressed, those phrases just hit me in the head. It's like, always be cheerful no matter what. Always give thanks. Don't suppress, like, just real great reminders of how we should live so that we're living the stress-free life God intended us to live. And so we're going to have a look at some of these habits. And I think that if we can intentionally put these in our life, and, you know, maybe you're doing really great at some of these habits, but maybe you think, well, that's just something I can work on. I reckon we can actually live the life God intended us to live. He's got a great future for each one of you. He's got a blessed life for each one of you. No matter what your circumstance right now looks like, God's got a blessed life for you. He didn't send his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross so that you can live in misery, downtrodden, not getting the promises of God. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you so that you can live the life he intended you to live. And I know God gave his best, so then his best is available to me. And I want that in my life. So let's have a look at some of these habits. The first one is this in verse 16. Be cheerful no matter what. Everybody say cheerful. 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 Say it like you mean it. Cheerful. Cheerful. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says this. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, we're talking there about sowing seed and giving of our finances, but we need to be people who give generously. Give with a cheerful heart when we bring our tithe. You know, I love seeing that our house, a church that's come cheerfully and given so that this church can be what it's meant to be. So this church doesn't stress and strain under the pressure of not being able to do all that it's called to do because we've got a people who are cheerful in their giving and generously bring into the house. But cheerfulness isn't just about your giving. I believe it's far more than that. I believe, are we cheerful in our time? Oh, okay, I'll do it. You know when someone asks you, can you do something? Oh, I suppose I can do that. I haven't really got time, but I'll do it. Am I cheerful with my heart? Am I cheerful with my words and what I say to other people? Am I cheerful with my devotion to my God and to other people in my life? And am I cheerful, like I've already said, with my finances? You know, God, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And I want to ask you today, are you cheerful? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and give them a big, cheerful smile? And now we're feeling really uncomfortable. So now turn to me and give me a big, cheerful smile. All the way up in the back, I want to see those cheesy grins. Do you know that research says that it actually takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? 43 muscles to frown. One research says 17 to smile. So, do the maths. It's easier to smile than it is to frown. Yet some of us, I just had a gentleman in the first service come to me in the break and said to me, you know, Pastor Alice, some of us as Christians look like we got baptised in lemon juice. I said, you're right. Honestly, we should be the most cheerful people on the planet. We've got Jesus Christ. We've been set free from our past. We have a future that is bright, filled with hope. Our eternity is secured. We've got the Word of God, the promises of God available to each one of us, yet some of us look like we've been baptized in lemon juice. Smile. Let the whole world know that everything's okay, even if it's not okay. It's a decision. You know, cheerfulness, like joy, is a decision you have to make every morning when you rise out of bed. Today, I choose to be cheerful. Today, I choose to be full of joy. And I choose today to let my cheerfulness and my joy overflow into other people's lives, because the Word of God tells us it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So when I'm spreading my cheerfulness, I'm actually a more blessed person. I'm infectious. You know what it's like when you walk into a room of people and you can spot the cheerful person. You want to be where they are. You want to be with the party people, or you want to just sit back and watch them and observe them. They're fun to be with. But sometimes we're not like that. And I want to encourage us today. A habit that we need to build into our life is cheerfulness, or joy. Joy. It says in the Word of God that this is the day the Lord has made in Nehemiah. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, no matter what's going on around you, friend. No matter what eggs haven't lined up, or ducks haven't lined up, or whatever you want to say. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you will live with that joy and that cheerfulness, let me tell you, it will change your perspective on life. Be that person. Do you know what joy does? It brings God's world into focus. You know what else it does? It gives you spiritual strength to win in a natural world that would naturally try to show us that we haven't got enough, that we're not going to make it, that we're not going to be set free, that we're not going to be healed, that we're not going to find that right partner, that our marriage isn't going to work, that our kids are going to struggle. It does that. But if we've got joy as a spiritual strength that comes, it says, no matter what the world says, no matter what my circumstance says, I've got the joy of the Lord and it is my strength. Joy finds eternal life within, and it brings it to the surface, because I'm not living for this moment. I'm living for eternity, with eternity in mind. And so what I sow today, I may not see today, but in the days, the months, the years to come, I will see a harvest if I keep on sowing. And when we sow cheerfulness, let me tell you, you will reap cheerfulness. The Bible says what you sow, you reap with your finances, but it's the same with other things. I know this one thing. When I feel like I've got no time, I actually say to God, I need to sow some time. We can get so busy and so locked into our own little worlds that I haven't got time for that, and I haven't got time for that. But I know this one truth in my life. When I feel like that, I actually stop and I sow time into something else or someone else, and time comes. It just does. It's a proven factor in the Word of God. You know what joy does? It finds something to celebrate in life every single day. Your circumstances right now may not be worth celebrating, but let me tell you, there is always something to celebrate if cheerfulness and joy is the strength on the inside of you. I might not be able to celebrate where I'm at right now, but I can celebrate where somebody else is at, because when I celebrate where they're at, I'm going to sow that back into my life, and it's going to be something I reap in my future. Joy, cheerfulness. It's a conviction we need to have in our life. A joy and a cheerfulness that says, no matter what's happening, God is my strength. So turn back to that person right now and show them a smile while I have a drink of water. I love happy people. But you know what we do as Aussies? What are you so happy about? I woke up this morning, I'm alive, I've got clothes. It's true, right? We naturally go to the negative oftentimes. Let's be people who sow cheerfulness. Let's be Christians who go into our workplaces, go into our areas of influence, and actually sow some cheer and actually sow some joy, so that we show people what it's like being a Christ lover. Habit two, are you with me this morning? Habit two says this. The second part of that scripture says, pray all the time. Well, I've changed it a little bit to humility. Habit number two is we need humility. You know why? Because humility produces a dependence on God. Pride, which is the opposite of humility, produces independence. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. if they will humble themselves and pray. You know, to give something to God actually takes a humility. It takes a God, I need you in this. You know what humility does? It's, you know what pride does, in fact? Pride does this. It says, I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone. I can do this. You know what humility says? I need you, God. And I can do this with you. Because through him, we can do all things. But when I take the reins on my life and when I say, God, I've got this, I'm all right. That's pride. Humility needs to come in our life and allow us to be dependent on God. When we give our burdens, when we give our circumstances to Jesus, he can come in the midst of that and he will carry that weight for us. He will carry that for us. When we take things into our own hands, we end up stressed. When we hand them over to Jesus, when we've got that dependence on him, when we're people who pray at all times, giving everything to him, we can actually live a stress-free life, even when things around us feel stressful. We don't have to be stressed in our stressful circumstances. We can be blessed because we know that God's working all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Give it to God. Whatever it is, as you came into this place this morning that's causing stress, in relationship, in finance, whatever it is, hand it over to him. He will carry it. He will carry it. And you will feel the weight lift and you'll be able to walk into your circumstance knowing that God's on your side and God's got it covered. Habit two is humility. Habit three is thankfulness. It says this, thank God no matter what happens. Well, that's easy for you to say. No, we need to be people who thank God no matter what. Thank God no matter what. Ephesians 5 says this, giving thanks always for all things. I haven't got anything to thank God for. Well, you have. You just sometimes got to look a little bit deeper. You've actually sometimes got to look with a different lens at what your circumstances are saying. You've actually got to turn things around and say, God, I choose to see the good and not the bad. I choose to see the things you have given me rather than things you haven't given me. I choose to see the things that are right in my world rather than things that are wrong in my world. I choose to see the things that are right with my relationships rather than the things that aren't right yet with my relationships. I choose to see in my kids the future, the promise, the hope that you've got them, even though they're not walking with you. Instead of speaking the doom and the gloom and the things that they're doing right now that aren't right, I choose to speak that they are champions, that they are loved of you, calling them back into the kingdom of God. We've got to change what we see, and when you change what you see, you can actually give thanks in all things and at all times. You know, I many years ago read an incredible book that I will happily say has changed my life. Other than the Bible, there's no other book that's changed my perspective and changed the way I approach God and the way I live life more than this one book. You know, it's called 1,000 Gifts, and I went to Coorong. I'm a massive reader, and I picked up this book and along with a whole heap of other things, and I went home and later on, and I usually just let God lead me a little bit. I look, usually know a few things I'm going to get, but I let God just direct a few things because God knows what I need. And so I bought this book and I got it home and I picked it up and I thought, why did I buy that? It had this bird on the front. Now, I hate birds. Sorry for all the bird lovers. I have this real, I don't like birds. So if you come to the beach with me, please don't throw chips near me because I don't want the birds anywhere near me. I'm one of those people that if I'm driving and a bird comes towards the windscreen, I duck and will risk crashing my car because I can't cope with the thought of that bird coming anywhere near me. I was swooped as a young kid and I've just never liked birds. I don't like them sitting on me. I don't want to touch them. I don't even want to go to the butterfly aviary at the zoo because I don't want them to fly near me. I don't want flutter, flutter, flutter near my head. So I said, God, why have I bought this book? It's got a bird on the front. Anyway, I started reading this book and it totally, if you're a reader, you need to get it. 1,000 Gifts by Anne Voskamp. It totally changed my world because in this book, she goes on a journey and had suffered a lot of loss and it had really horrible, horrible, horrible things happened to her and her family. You know, they'd had cancer and her brother or brother-in-law ran over, backed into their child, and was killed. And so just incredible tragedy. And she talks through the book about her journey to be a person who is thankful no matter what. And so in her book, she talks about she decided she didn't have much to be thankful for, but then she decided, well, God, I'm going to start what she called it was a 1,000 gifts journal or diary. And so every day she had just an exercise book she had open wherever she went. And she'd just stop in moments and write down the very things she was thankful for. And you know, some of the things she wrote were things like this. She had about 6 kids, I think, and one day she walked into her laundry. And there was, you can imagine with 6 kids, I know what it's like with 2. There was stuff everywhere, dirty clothes. And she was like, this is going to be a day's worth of washing. But in training her mind to be thankful for all things and to change her perspective, she said, I thank you, God, right now that I have all this washing because it means I have a family to love and I have a family to wash for. You see, there is always something to be thankful for if we will change our perspective. Change our perspective. And you know, I was so challenged by this that I did the 1,000 gifts journal over a year. And if you work that out, that's sitting down every day and saying 3 things I'm thankful for. And I would encourage you, if you struggle to be thankful, do this. It will stop you every night when you sit down to go, what am I thankful for today? And some days it was, I'm thankful for my cup of coffee. I'm thankful for the smell of my children straight out of a bath. Why? Because I'm blessed with kids. And I would encourage you that if you struggle, because it changed how I see things. It changes when you're in a hard season. It changes how you see things because you learn to be thankful no matter what's happening around you. It's a habit we need to build into our life. You know what thankfulness is? It's a declaration of a trust in God. The opposite of thankfulness is murmuring and complaining. And what do? They produce stress. They actually suck the life out of you. You sit around whinging, complaining about your circumstance. It's actually not going to complain it. I choose to take that murmuring and complaining to the very throne room of God and say, God, here is my circumstance. In that, I choose to thank you. I choose to be someone who's thankful about every area of my life. Thankful. A thankful spirit, a habit of thankfulness in your life. Let me tell you, will change how you see things. It will change how people see you. And it'll change your heart towards God. My fourth habit is this: enthusiasm. Now, it doesn't actually say that, but it says, don't suppress the spirit. If you read different version, it says different things. But I think we need to be actually people who carry an enthusiasm. I love that we do that video, send it to Atlanta, to Kennesaw, and I love that we get excited, and I love looking over here and seeing all the youth during worship, you know, with enthusiasm, and that's why we need young people in our church. They're so full of enthusiasm. I love turning around and seeing the older generation enthusiastic about God. I love that. Enthusiasm is a good thing. Enthusiasm comes from God. The Greek word for enthusiasm is entheos, God within or God breathed. I want to ask you this morning, have you got God within? Is there a zeal and a passion about your life? I'm an introvert. Yeah, okay. But you can still be passionate about the things of God. I'm very passionate. Sometimes people say you talk too fast, you talk too loud. That's because the passion flows and it's just what happens. We should come to church and be the most enthusiastic people because we have been set free. We've got a God who sent his son Jesus to die for us. He's given us promises to hold on to. He's promised us a future filled with hope. Yet sometimes we stand in the middle of God's presence and we're like, yes. I want to encourage us today. Let's break out a little bit. I mean, we're an enthusiastic church. I love hearing voices around the auditorium, people encouraging me. Oh. I heard that, Michelle. But some of us in worship, you know, just a little bit of a woo. I love that Pastor Josh gets up and you never quite know what's going to happen because there is an enthusiasm and a zeal in his life. He's lying on the floor doing announcements. Hey, God's done so much for us. God's done so much for us. How can we not be enthusiastic about the things he's done? You know, I follow the Sydney Swans. Whatever. They're the little quiet achievers this year, just working their way up the ladder. We were just about at the bottom, but now we're 5th, I believe. Might have changed overnight, but I believe we're 5th. I know the Crows are first, but I say that to get you back on side with me. But I don't want to be more enthusiastic about the Swans at a Swans game than I am about God and his house. If I go to a Swans game and cheer and scream and do all that, then why would I not be in church cheering and screaming about the things that God's doing in my life? You know, I was thinking about Phil. worship leading up here, and he's got his guitar. He was over here. This is his guitar here. And I took my mind went back to last year's kids camp. Phil came down and led worship. As you see him there, he was at a kids camp. It didn't change because of the platform he was standing on. It's a God-breathed enthusiasm that flows out of his life. Why? Because God's on the inside of him. God's working in his life, and he's got everything to be enthusiastic about. Some of us just need to break out a little bit. You know, my daughter's just done dance comp, so she's still in the midst of it. And I'm not one of those crazy dance mums who gets all competitive and whatever. But, oh, dance world's a different world, let me tell you. Thank God our second child's a boy, and he's just going to go kick a footy at Auskick. Probably cost me $50 and a pair of boots. She did a first ever classical ballet solo yesterday, and you're sitting there and the adjudicator, you know, Vivian, whatever her name is, sitting up there from Western Australia, sitting up because she sits up high. And you walk in and there's only a small crowd because it's just the mums and the family of the solo kids, and I'm waiting for her, and I tell you what, my stomach was sick. So I can't do anything for her. I've given her the pep talk. You got this, baby. You can do this. Keep your head up. Look at the lady. Don't look at me. Keep your head up. Otherwise, you'll get shot. I'm listening to all the things they tell her. Hold your hands beautifully. You know how to do this, sweetheart. You look beautiful. And she came out on stage and stood there poised, however she does it. She's much more graceful than me. How am I going, Georgie? Wherever she is. She looked beautiful in her tutu. I just need to say, the adjudicator, on the top of her critique list, wrote stunning tutu. I'm taking the credit for that because I had to organise that. Thanks, Georgie. She comes out and everything in me wants to yell out, "You got this, girl, come on, you can do this." But Vivian, whatever her name is, sitting up there, isn't going to appreciate my enthusiasm at a ballet, classical ballet competition solo. Everything in me, and we know I've got a little thing with my daughter, so she knows that I'm there, but so she knows where I am, I do this little call cry. As soon as she comes out, I do the whoop whoop. I'm that, don't I? 2 weeks ago, she was in a school musical and I'd lost my voice, and so I'm trying to do the call cry. It's like, sound like a dead pigeon. And everything in me was feeling sick because I couldn't do anything to help her, and I was so nervous for her. But I'm sitting on my hands and she comes out and she looks beautiful, and everything in me, because I'm an enthusiastic parent and I love this kid and I want to show her that I'm so proud of her. And it's the same with God. I want to show God how much I love him, how thankful I am, everything about me. And that doesn't mean I have to be stupid or an idiot or whatever. It just means that everything about me says, God, I thank you for the breath you've given me. I thank you for the life you've given me. So let everything within me show you that I'm thankful and I'm grateful. And so she comes out and I'm sitting there silent because Vivian's watching. And she dances, and she dances beautifully. And with tears in my eyes, I just watch her as she does her thing and then gracefully exits the stage. And then I do my little whoop whoop. And I go down and tell her how great she was. But you know, everything within us needs to show God that we're thankful. Whatever that looks like to you, it doesn't look like it does for me, but whatever you do, enthusiasm. We're enthusiastic about coming to church. In fact, we're so enthusiastic about the house of God. We get here early. We come on time. We get here to do the things that God wants us to do. We're out there in the coffee cart shouting people coffee. We go down to the kids' rooms and we tell them how thankful we are for serving our kids and for loving on our kids. I can say that because I'm a kids pastor. But we get here early because we're enthusiastic about the things of God and what he's done for us. Enthusiasm. I hope my enthusiasm rubs off. But you know what enthusiasm does? It does this. It believes that God rules big on the inside of you. Courage. And sometimes you might be faking it till you make it, but I want to tell you, do it. Fake it till you make it, because one day you'll make it. Enthusiasm believes that God's plans for you are awesome. Well, I don't know what my tomorrow holds, but I know that I serve a big God, and so whatever he's got for me is fantastic. Enthusiasm believes that you've a destiny and a purpose in all that you do. So I'm not doing things just to pass the time away or bide my time. I'm actually doing all that I do because God's destined and purposed my life. Enthusiasm decides to act upon a conviction until my feelings and the facts agree and line up. Because sometimes the facts and the circumstance don't line up with the Word of God. But what we've got to do is keep coming back to the Word of God as our anchor and keep on declaring, keep on believing, keep on praying into and believing, because one day they will line up. Enthusiasm empowers your conviction to bypass your concerns, your stresses, and your worries. You want to live a stress-free life? Get enthusiastic about life. Oh, bless you. It's coming out. See, even in your sneezing, you can be enthusiastic. Woo! Oh, it's good to have fun in church, isn't it? Yeah, cheerful, cheerful. Habit 5 is this. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. Hallelujah. I've called this habit declaring dreams. You know, too often, we're sitting back waiting for the pastor to have a word over our life. Thus saith the Lord, today you will wear red. Thus saith the Lord. You know what? You don't, like, a word from a pastor is awesome. But you don't actually need a word from a pastor, because you've already got the words from the Master. You've already got everything you need. And hey, a word from a pastor will back that up. Might call that out of your life and into being. But you don't need to stay, to not be able to move forward in life, because you haven't had a word from the pastor of the church. You haven't had that divine word. You've got that divine word. You hold it in your hand. It's called the Bible. And what you need, what some of us need to do, and I need to do it over my circumstances all the time, is rise up and declare the dreams and the promises of God over my life, and keep on declaring and keep on speaking and keep on declaring and keep on speaking and keep on declaring and keep on speaking until I see them become a reality. You don't need that prophecy. Oh, that's good if you get it. You know, we get a prophet through town and people get offended that they didn't get a word. You've got the word. You've got it every single day. It's on your phone. It's in your hand here in a whatever this is called, a book. You've got it. We need to be people who declare the promises of God and not declare the doom and gloom that's happening in our world. And you love when you meet someone and they're so enthusiastic and so uplifting and so full of hope and life. And then you meet someone who, it's like, well, I'm walking away from this conversation because I just feel like they've dragged me down, 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 down. Like that Coles ad. Negative words get down. It's time to declare the dreams of God over our situation. It's time to declare the promises of God over our life. You know, I love when the nights that I get to tuck my kids into bed. Mostly Rob does it. In our home, it's just something that's always happened. But I hear him pray. I love when I get to go and do it and I declare the promises of God over their life. You're a leader and not a follower. You're a conqueror. You're more than able. You're a champion kid. You're going to do this. You know, I love seeing my daughter go and do the things in her heart to do. You know, she loves dance, and I love standing there and telling her, you can do this. You've got this. You are a beautiful ballerina. I love being able to do that. Well, we need to do that in our life. We need to declare the promises of God over our life. We need to stop rehearsing the bad stuff, and we need to declare the promises of God, even if they're not as they should be just yet. Too often we declare our fears and we declare the things we don't want instead of declaring the things we do want. It's time to change our vocabulary. It's time to change what we see and how we see it and begin to declare that over our life. Number 6 habit is this, steadfastness. It says here, check out everything and keep only what's good. Check out everything. Well, James 1 verse 8 says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-mindedness happens when we're tossed from one side of our mind to the other. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? Hey, what about what the Word of God says? And if we just move towards what it says? Double-mindedness happens when we move from the spiritual to the natural, from our facts to our feelings, revelation to reason. Let me tell you, when you get a revelation of what God's done and what He's promised over your life, you don't need to reason that away. You just need to keep on going back to that habit of declaring the dreams and declare them over your life. You know, when Rob and I couldn't fall pregnant for a long time, I didn't have a pastor stand on a platform and say to me, thus verily saith the Lord of hosts of all the angels, blah, blah. And I didn't have him say, you will fall pregnant. What I did have was a word from the Bible that says the fruit of your womb is blessed. And when my feelings didn't line up and my circumstance didn't line up, because it wasn't just a month or two, it was years and years and years. But I had my word, the fruit of your womb is blessed. And so every morning in my head, even if I couldn't speak it because I wasn't the, I just was so downcast, there was the words of God that said, the fruit of your womb, Alice, the fruit of your womb, Alice, the fruit of your womb, Alice, is blessed. Because I remember fasting and praying and waking up one morning and the very scripture I turned to was the fruit of your womb. And I held on to that one word. Your, my womb, the fruit of your womb is blessed. And for years I declared that over my life. For years I declared that over my womb, over my body. Let me tell you, you just need to get an enthusiasm, a zeal, a passion that you will rise up and you will declare, and a steadfastness that says, I will not be moved no matter what happens. Too often the storms come. And we don't just get tossed around a little bit, we actually get chucked overboard and we never really recover. That's not what God intended. You might get moved to the left and the right a little bit, but we need to have a steadfastness that just keeps moving towards the things that God's got for us. In verse 21, it says, test everything. Let me say this. Why do we need to test everything? And I don't mean be a pain and come and argue stuff or be argumentative. This is what I mean. Not every late relationship you're offered is good for you. It might be okay for someone else, but it might not be good for you. Not all foods you eat are good for you. Not every opportunity is yours to pursue. Test it. Not every movie you see or book you read is good for you. We look at what everybody else is doing, so if they're doing it, it's all right for me. Well, no. Not everything in life is good for you. But the promises of God are good for you. The future that God's got for you is good for you. And so we need to have a steadfastness that moves toward the things of God and moves towards the plan and the purpose that He's got for your life. You know, I speak to my 11-year-old all the time, you run your race. Don't you worry about what your friends are doing sometimes. Don't you worry about the words they use. You run your race. And some of us adults need to do that. We need to run our race. We need to have a steadfastness that puts our head down and goes, this is what God's called me to, and this is what I'm going to do. Romans 12 verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is it for you? And the last habit, throw out everything tainted with evil. Integrity. Integrity. You know what integrity is? It's this. It's choosing to do what's right. It's who you are when no one else is watching or looking. It's having commitments in your mind that line up with your convictions. It's living a life in such a way that God and people can trust you with much. It's a storehouse where God stores His treasure. I love that. It shuts the door to all forms of apparent evil and does not allow them to access your mind. It's the pursuit of God's best in all areas of your life. You know, I want to encourage us today that God's got a blessed life for each one of us. But when we tangle our life with stress, when we tangle our life with the things that are not from Him, and we can't be too quick to blame Him, because sometimes we've opened doors that we shouldn't have opened doors to. And so we need to return and shut some of those things off and get a steadfastness and integrity that walks towards the things of God no matter what. A steadfastness, an enthusiasm for the things of God, and no matter what's happening in our world, we choose to look heavenward and we choose to look outward and focus on the things God's got for us. You know, I love what Pastor Josh said as he got up to encourage us in worship. Too often in our circumstances, what we do is we take our circumstances that are wrong and are broken and not right, and we try to lift them up to God. really all God wants us to do is bring a little bit of heaven down into our circumstances. You know how you do that? You bring everything to Him. You bring everything to Him. You know, positive thinking can change and reprogram your mind, but it won't change the eternal part on the inside of you. You can go to motivational seminars after seminar, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't change your eternity. The very thing that changes your eternity is God. Is God. Well, I'm not just talking here about positive thinking. I'm talking here about having a conviction that God's got this. That God's got a great future for you. That God actually wants you to live a blessed, not stressed life. And when you actually live that blessed, not stressed life, the people around you will be blessed as well, because a blessed life is not just for us, it's for everybody else. It's an outward thing. It's an outward flowing thing.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com.